on a variety of different things. So I have a few slides specific to SAJ, the Soil Science Society of America Journal. This just happens to be how we're structured. I'm the editor. There are several technical editors representing different specialities in soil science, and then we have a number of associate editors. Some of the different journals have a somewhat different organization. But I have these names up here because if you know that you're mostly in soil physics, Daniel Jimenez will be the incoming technical editor, and so if you have questions in particular, you might contact him, or if you're in other areas, you might contact these other individuals. Let's see, where do I go next? Oh, yes. So in terms of getting your work submitted to SSAJ, before you do this, if you haven't already, and I hope you have, browse through some of the issues or scan through the listings online and look through some of the articles, because that will give you a feel for the type of content. It'll give you somewhat of a sense of the current issues and articles that are out there in soil science. It will also give you an idea of the quality of the articles in Soil Science Society of America Journal, and that will help you to gauge whether your research fits in really well or if perhaps it doesn't fit in quite as well, but that's a good potential guide. Let's see, I guess. As with most things in life, it usually helps to follow the instructions. And when you go online to any of the journal pages for the Society, but certainly SSAJ, you can download those instructions to authors. They have recently been revised, and if not already, in the very near future, the current instructions for authors are out there. The style guide manual for the Society is also there, and those contain valuable information as you begin to put your article together. Now, most of you are probably going to be developing your articles, or at least many of you will be developing articles that come out of your thesis or your dissertation. Most universities these days allow you, or maybe even encourage you, to publish in paper format, and so you can format your chapter in the style that you're going to ultimately be submitting it, saving yourself some reformatting down the road. Every submission is all electronic through Manuscript Tracker. If you're not already registered, and I hope all of you are, because you can register as a reviewer, which is something I'll come back to later on. But certainly when you're ready to submit your manuscript, if you're not in the system, you'll have to register and provide some background information about yourself, email address, those sorts of things. And especially if it asks you for area of specialization, if you're in soil nitrogen or if you're in work in forest soils, whatever it might be, put that information down, because our associate editors use that in order to find reviewers, for example, for different topics. So in our system, you select a division, and usually that might be pretty straightforward. So for example, if you're looking at the influence of phosphorus fertilization on the long-term productivity of a variety of different cropping systems, it's probably going to go into the division that relates to soil fertility, which in our case would be S4. Sometimes you're sort of in between divisions, and then just make your best guess. That information just helps me to assign your manuscript to the appropriate division. Paper type, there's different paper types. Most of you may be submitting regular research articles, but we do also have issues papers, we have short notes, we have papers that relate to review articles, and so there's a variety of issues. Occasionally we have special themes or topics, and you could potentially put your paper into one of those special themes or topics. Fill in the information about titles and authors. I would suggest that you provide the names of potential reviewers. We do use these when we assign papers out to review. If you put your three best friends up there, we probably won't pick all three of them, but we might pick one of them. But the idea is it gives us an idea of some people that we can contact, and usually one of those at least is used in the review process. And then there's the topics that you can also select and submit it within journal style. Now, we have a fair amount of flexibility in terms of how this comes in. If all of your references aren't perfectly formatted to our journal style. We don't necessarily worry too much about that, but you do have to have high quality figures. We do need those figure legends. There are aspects of the submission which are important. And so in our case, the way the review process works is it's submitted. When it's submitted, it's actually screened at headquarters for duplication. So basically it goes out to the internet and it checks your manuscript against everything that's available on the internet just to make sure that there isn't too much duplication. I mean, basically this is meant to hopefully catch any examples of plagiarism, which we don't have a problem with in the journal, but we do occasionally find a fair amount of duplication, and that's understandable if you're describing a method. There's only so many ways you can describe a method. However, if your introduction section, your discussion section has large blocks or paragraphs of text that come from something else, someplace else, that's a red flag. But just know that it is checked in that way, and over the course of the year, if there are a half dozen manuscripts that come into question, that's about it, and we've handled those. In almost all of those instances, it's a function where authors have just perhaps relied a little bit too much on what they've already written before and are redoing it for an article. And that can be that can be very commonplace. For example, the thought that comes to mind is a fertility article where you're looking at the influence of a certain, fertilization regime on the production of a certain crop, and then you have another experiment that you're writing up, and the only real big difference other than the data is that it's a different crop. You know, a lot of that background information might be the same. And we just work with you to make sure that isn't an egregious problem. But at any rate, when I get the manuscript, I assigned it to a technical editor. They assign it to an associate editor who assigns reviewers. Those reviews come back. The associate editor makes a decision, gets back in touch with the author, and if it's going forward to publication, ultimately out to the managing editor, and then the reader sees the manuscript. In the case of SSSAJ, for your information, between when a manuscript is submitted and when it's assigned to associate editor is generally less than a week. It usually takes a week or sometimes more for associate editors to find reviewers who are willing to review manuscripts. So again, I encourage you to sign up as reviewers, talk to your major professors, and encourage them to allow you to perhaps review papers for them that they receive, so that you can gain the experience and we also can have a very productive review process. This past year, reviews, a decision has gotten back to the authors in our journal. Let's see, if I remember the figure exactly, I think it's in 48 days or 51 days. So it's relatively prompt. However, we promise you 90 days, and sometimes it does take that long or a little bit longer, and the hang-up typically is that it's just a long time in review because it's taken perhaps almost a month to line up all the reviewers, and the reviewers may not have been as prompt as we hope they might be. So, reviewing, I've talked a little bit about. You can get tips to reviewing, and Rob will have all of these PowerPoint slides that he can send out to you, so don't worry about copying down the web addresses. Wanted to say just a word about revision, and I'll relate my own experience. So it was the first paper I think I submitted from my dissertation research, and had been out in review for a while, and I got a letter back, and I was quickly reading through the letter, and nowhere did I see the word acceptance, and I was crestfallen, and I stuffed it on the shelf, and I left it there. And a week later, I went back to it, and I realized that actually what they wanted me to do was to make a few revisions, and then I could send it back. So I was pretty naive. But the reality is that almost any manuscript that you submit is going to come back to you with some degree of revisions, and I would just encourage you to take those reviews seriously. Even if it comes back to you and we've released your manuscript, take those reviews seriously. You've had two or three people take a considerable amount of time looking over your material. By and large, they're going to be experts in your field, and they're going to be able to give you advice that's likely to help you significantly in improving your manuscript. And so do take care of that. If it is an instance where you get the reviews back and the journal is asking for revisions, again, take those seriously and respond point to point. You know, if it's something as simple as a word change, you've accepted it, you just say, done, I've accepted it. If it's more substantive, or if it's a point where you happen to disagree with the reviews, and it's okay to disagree with the reviews, you just have to have a justification for doing so, provide a detailed response. I'm not making this change because of these reasons. And when the associate editor gets that back, they'll evaluate that. They may agree with you. They may not agree with you, but they'll at least understand your argument. Okay. And finally, while Sally or the next person is getting up here, I'd just like to share this little laws of thermodynamics that kind of relate to us in the world of publishing and other aspects. And that first law, I think, is especially important. So thanks for your attention, and we'll all have a little bit of time, but I'm happy to answer other questions later on.